that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed by one's own occupation, according to caste, divisions, and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport, human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the laborer caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualifications, not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life, otherwise no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And each and every one of the above-mentioned divisions of life, and this is italicized in Srila Prabhupada's report, the aim is to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. So I'm going to end reading Srila Prabhupada's purport there, and then just quickly look at the next verse. Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati strotavya kirtitavyascha deya deya Ujiyas chanit yada. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear, love, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So these two verses speak about duty in terms of the Varnashram system. And I'd like you to concentrate not necessarily on the Varnashram system as we go through this discussion today, but rather the fact that the Varnashram system recognizes the individual circumstances that you find yourself in life, rather than focus on particular ashram or varna, try to concentrate on the idea that we are all individuals. And that as individuals, we have a duty to perform. And that duty is haritoshana, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what actually comprises our Vaishnava duty. Recently I was speaking with some devotees and we were talking about this subject. The subject in general about what should we do with our lives. And this idea came to me in the course of the discussion that we do have a duty as devotees of Krishna, and that duty can be defined as to give Krishna consciousness to as many conditioned souls in as deep a manner as is possible for us individually. We all have this duty, and it's something that is a deeply felt obligation. Actually, I went and I looked up the word duty in the dictionary, and there's a definition there which I think captures the spirit of what I want to present here today, and that is that duty is a sense or feeling of obligation. So we have some obligation, but, and the duties of the Varnashram system tend to be obligations. We think of them like that. Well, as a brahmachari, I have this type of obligation, or these types of duties. As a grihastha, I have another type of duties. And quite often, often those aren't approached with feeling. But if the purpose of those duties is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our chosen path for doing that is bhakti yoga, then our duty necessarily includes some feeling with which we undertake it. It's not like the feeling that is conveyed in the Old Testament and the Bible. I got a definition of duty out of the Old Testament. So I'm going to read, compare, so you can compare what we're talking about. There, the Old Testament defines duty this way. It says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Wow. Fear God and keep His commandments. Not very inspiring. I guess it's inspiring in some sense that, you know, we have to fear God as our motivation for our actions, but I think that our Vaishnava duty, particularly in terms of giving Krishna consciousness to as many people in as deep a manner as they can absorb as is possible, is more inspiring. At least for me, it's more inspiring that we can approach our life in this way. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the different elements or aspects of this type of a duty that we have to fulfill that aim or objective in our life. And it can be looked at and broken down in different ways. And I think Srila Prabhupada's life is a good example in this regard. If we think about the origin of our duty lies within ourselves. The origin of this ability to try to give Krishna consciousness to others, or desire to give Krishna consciousness to others, that lies within ourselves and is defined by our own individual characteristics. Let's take the life of Srila Prabhupada, for instance. When he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say to him? Upon first seeing him, it was his first words to him.
Preach in the West, to the Western speaking people. Yeah. You look like an intelligent young man, you should give this Krishna, spread this Krishna consciousness in the Western world.
Right, he looked at him and he saw his characteristics, his individual characteristics. He understood somehow or another that he spoke English as well. And so the first thing he said to him is that, "You know English, go preach in English." Now, it's not that English preaching was his only objective, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was only objective of his mission. But he saw, here's a person, and they have a particular, they're an individual, they have a particular qualification that originated in them. And therefore, he said, use that qualification that you have to give Krishna consciousness to others. That's very, in my mind, that's very encouraging, because it doesn't mean that we have to bring something other than ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. All of us have certain abilities, qualifications, inclinations, and those things that originate with us, of course ultimately everything originates with Krishna, they originate with us. Those things are what are the vehicle for us giving Krishna consciousness to as many people in as deep a manner as we possibly can. So immediately there's some sense of feeling, and Srila Prabhupada took that. At the time when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was disappearing from this world, he recognized that same thing coming to him in instruction. And he took great inspiration in that. So much inspiration that was in beginning of 1936. And 30 years later, that's all he meditated on for 30 years. And then he finally acted on that by leaving for the West to preach. With what? Only with that feeling of love for a spiritual master, that inspiration. This is what duty is based on. Duty is based on not having a lot of rupees in your pocket or a lot of manpower at your disposal, but it's based on this feeling, and that feeling is so strong that it's capable of ruling our entire lives and inspiring us to do things that are truly amazing. So this is the power of the emotion, the feeling of duty. Of course, I think duty is an aspect of love, so love for one's spiritual master, love for Krishna is what's ultimately motivating right now. So that's the first point about this feeling or obligation, a sense of feeling or obligation, which is duty. So the second aspect is a performance, the performance of our duty. And that has a couple of different components as well. First of all, if we're going to perform our duty, then that duty needs to be confirmed by higher authorities. It's not something that's just an individual inspiration, at least in Vaishnavism, that someone has some individual inspiration about Krishna or their duty, and then they just go off and do it without consulting with others. Vaishnava duty is built into relationship with higher authorities and having that duty being confirmed. And we see this in the lives of all of the great devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, for instance, he didn't just sit down and write Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he did it after receiving the blessings of the Vaishnavas and confirmation by Nadidi, right on that lawn. Confirmation in the garden. He got some confirmation from higher authorities, and that inspired him. Again, the feeling, the motivation was created. He had the abilities, but the motivation was created by confirming one's course of actions with one's higher authorities. And that's the real benefit of the association of devotees, because in the association of devotees, duty is easy to perform because we have those that are superior to us, that can give us their blessings and we can confirm our plans and ideas with. And we have friends that are equals that we can share our inspiration with and get good counsel as well. So the first aspect of performance is higher authorities. And then performance of duty, particularly if we accept this definition that I've given, to give Krishna consciousness to as many conditioned souls in as deep a manner as is possible for you, that means performance of your duty necessarily involves considerations of other living entities or other living beings. Our duty is to someone. It's to our higher authorities, to Krishna ultimately, as well as to other living beings. Krishna consciousness is meant for all living beings, and as we conceive and perform our duty, that has to be part of our thought. Our duty is to who, but to other living entities. Again, if we see Srila Prabhupada's example in this regard, specifically, he wanted to come to the West and even though when he was on the Jaladuta in the Boston Harbor, he wrote in his poem that he didn't know why Krishna had brought him there, because all the people he saw, they were controlled by the modes of passion and ignorance, but that was the order given to him, and those were the people that he was supposed to interact with, and so he did his duty in relation to both the higher authorities and those living entities, other people. So there are certain principles also involved in doing our duty. The first of which is to have an equal vision. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what of a wise sage? Samadarshana, he has equal vision. He sees the dog eater, the Brahmin, all with equal vision. He doesn't discriminate who his mission, who his duty should be executed towards, but start making distinctions that this person is eligible to receive Krishna's mercy, and that person is not eligible to receive Krishna's mercy. And this actually helps us in the performance of our duty because it takes us off the mental platform. On Sankirtan, for instance, if you start thinking when you're distributing books that, well, this person looks like they'll take, and that person doesn't look like they'll take, and you start making those kind of choices, you find yourself not doing as well as if you just try to approach every living entity, every conditioned soul in the same way, and try to give them Krishna consciousness. So, equal in a vision towards everybody, and of course that vision should be a compassionate one. It should be a compassionate one. That's the purpose of interacting with other living entities in performance of our duty, is to benefit them with Krishna consciousness. A person who has some kind of opulence or something of value, it's valuable because he can give it to others. It's not meant to be hoarded for oneself. And this is the definition that Srila Prabhupada gives us, this the distinction between Mahatma and Kripana. A miserly person, it's like a miserly person has so much money, but they see that money as their own and they're not willing to share it with anyone else. Express compassion for others that I have something of value, let me share it with you, but they hoard it for themselves. Brahmana, actually, it's not Mahatma, it's Brahmana. Brahmana and Kripana. A Brahmana has this broad vision to share the good thing he has with others. And so it's a very important principle in executing our duty, is that we recognize the benefit we've gotten and we exercise the compassion to share that with others. There are some dangers in the execution of our duty, and they involve becoming proud. We talked the other day about the first two qualities of being a knowledgeable person, being situated in knowledge. And they are humility and pridelessness. So one's Vaishnava duty has to be executed with humility and pridelessness. Because the danger is that when you have something that puts you in a superior position to others, how can that be misused? Condescension. When you think that I'm better than someone else, or I have more knowledge than someone else, then you can actually treat them in ways that in the execution of a duty, even trying to give them Krishna consciousness, if you treat them in a condescending way, or a way which says to them, I'm superior to you, then what's going to be the effect of your duty? Are you going to be able to give them Krishna consciousness in as deep a manner as is possible? Or are they going to say that, well, this person is just proud, He's self-interested. He's not really interested in my welfare. And therefore, I'm not interested in what he has to give. We can stand in the way of Krishna's mercy. I remember that I used to travel with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj when we were brahmacharis together. And he used to always say like this, that he prays to Prabhupada every day that he doesn't get in the way of Krishna's mercy flowing to a particular individual that he may be interacting with. And this is a very effective way of getting in the, between Krishna and that conditioned soul, is to manifest this condescending attitude towards another living being. It's part of the responsibility. Duty also means responsibility. And part of the responsibility of having such a wonderful gift to give to others is that we deal with it properly. Maharaj was explaining last night when he was talking about the Yoga Sutras about the powers that come from the practice of yoga, the siddhis, and how actually those are they're pointed out specifically in the Yoga Sutras, if I understood you correctly, that these things are dangerous. These things will come with the practice of yoga, but they're dangerous. Most people in the world today, they'll look at yoga and they want those siddhis. That's what they want, the dangerous thing, without the other things, the yamas and niyamas, the do's and the don'ts of the process. And so similarly, we as devotees, we've been given a great gift, but if we use it in a condescending way, we're missing the point. Another danger in the execution of our duty is that a Vaishnava really is beyond this Varnashram system that we were talking about here. He's beyond that. He or she is beyond that. The rules and regulations which regulate that system. Not obligated, in other words, to follow the rules and regulations that are there. However, if the Vaishnava acts in ways which are socially deviant, it also inhibits the message from being delivered properly. Just like us. We're Vaishnavas, we have an organization, ISKCON, and in a sense, ISKCON's not obliged to the mundane laws and social principles of this world. Because we're Vaishnavas. We're beyond those rules and regulations of the material energy. But if we act in such a way to ignore those to the point where people are so disturbed with us, then that actually acts against the fulfillment of our duty. So this can be done organizationally, it can be done individually. I remember one devotee told me years ago that how he dealt with being in a traffic jam on the highway. All the cars are backed up for miles, but then there's the shoulder of the road, you know, that lane shoulder. Mm-hmm. So he said, huh?
They used to call it the Sankirtan lane.
Yeah, this is Lord Chaitanya's expressway, he said. But that's an extremely dangerous way to think. One thing is that it's an expressway for emergency vehicles, whatever, but also, you know, someone could easily step out of their car, you could run them over. So many bad things could happen from acting out of line. Yeah, she wrote a book now. Even if your purpose is to go and execute your service, if you do it in ways in which are completely socially deviant, then ultimately you're going to find a difficulty in executing your mission. And so it's not advisable to be outlaws, even though one is not subject to the laws. Even Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita says that I follow these rules and regulations. Not that I have to, but I do it because if I don't, then everyone will do what I do and then there'll be chaos in society. So, not only Krishna, but many great kings and leaders of society have executed their duties according to society, and in that way been able to fulfill the Vaishnava duty of giving Krishna consciousness to others. I think Srila Prabhupada is also a very good example in this regard. Obviously, highest level Paramahamsa, but when he came to New York and had to win the hearts of people, conditioned souls, much his inferior, he took the position of serving them. See how Prabhupada would cook the feast, he would serve the feast, and then he would clean up afterwards. And all these other persons would just come and eat. And maybe they didn't even go away, they just like crashed right on the floor and started sleeping. And Prabhupada never objected. He stood in line. Stood in line with the other boys for the shower. Exhibiting such humility, why? To give Krishna consciousness to others. And this gets at the last point that I want to present here about duty, and that is the opportunities that are involved with duties. Srila Prabhupada could have come to America and he could have said that, well, I want, you know, like high class people, people with money, or whatever, and those are the people I'm going to preach to. But he didn't do that. He took the opportunities to execute his duty as they came. And they came in ways in which probably he hadn't expected when he got on the Jaladuka, that there would be hippies or social outcasts, people that dropped out of society. He took the opportunity, whatever Krishna gave him, and that's a very important thing for executing your duty, because we don't know how opportunities to execute our duty will come to us, but we have to be aware of them, and when we see them, when we're presented with an opportunity, we need to take it. We need to take it. We need to become involved with the circumstances that Krishna gives us. When we do that, we're actually reciprocating with Krishna. And we'll see opportunities where we didn't see them before. It always amazes me, and whenever I have a chance to sit with Jai Krishna Prabhu, I was asking about business. I asked him so many questions. Well, how do businessmen see this? How do they figure out that this is, you know, something that they should do? Well, obviously, a person that's a businessman, they have some intuitive sense where a business opportunity is, where a business opportunity lies. Someone that doesn't have a sense like that, getting back again to this, the origin of our duty being our individual abilities, someone that doesn't have that insight will miss so many opportunities. But as devotees, we have to be alert to this, to our task of giving Krishna consciousness to as many people as we can. And then Krishna will reveal to us opportunities that we hadn't seen before. And then we need to take those opportunities in reciprocation with them. So those kind of opportunities give us a chance to execute our duty of spreading Krishna consciousness. So if we do these things, understand that the origin of my specific duty lies in the qualifications that Krishna has given me and makes my duty individual. Again, last night Maharaj was explaining how one of the philosophical systems explains the singularity, how everything is unique. Which one was that?
Vaisheshika.
Vaisheshika. The Vaisheshika philosophical system explains how everything in this universe is individual or unique, right? So all of us are individual, we're unique. Krishna's created us that way, and he's created us that way for a purpose, so that we can express our individuality in giving Krishna consciousness to others. So that originates with us. And if we perform our duties in consultation with higher authorities, equal to all human beings, with compassion, not condescension or pride, and taking advantage of every opportunity that comes, then we'll actually be able to have this feeling that I was talking about that motivates us to give Krishna consciousness to as many people as in as deep a manner as is possible. So these are some thoughts about Vaishnava duty. Does anybody have any quick questions? Yes.
Very important. I still think after Mangalati, you know more, because we tell the only way for Krishna consciousness is preaching to another, no? But here, to the tourists, I cannot preach because they are tourists, they don't know Krishna consciousness, they don't know the majority, they tell me. Entonces, I present this idea. Que son matachis, bueno, al menos she and me, we want to go outside and make sankirtan and make preaching, no? This is me, I make this seminar with Amina Mediano in Mayapur about preaching, and I want to preach, because I come and preach here, I want to make one group, matachis group, we can go one time a week or like this, for make book distribution, because I know in this temple we have one group, Prabhu's group for Sankirtan, they travel, I speak with them before they go, because in the first day I come in here, the next day I go to one teaching program, but we don't have any...
Well, I would suggest that, again, as I was saying, one of the aspects of being genuinely inspired in our duty is to have our idea, our plans confirmed by higher authorities. So it's good that you have an idea, but to make it complete, try to do it in terms of all of these principles, which includes talking with the authorities. I think that's one.
Yeah, well, it's one sugerencia, no, it's not a new sugerencia. But it's one sugerencia, because in Krishna consciousness, I think the more important service we can make everybody is preaching, and Swami knows me. I explained
this from
the beginning.
Okay, but you know, the thing is that I was told by my higher authorities that the class has to end at a certain time. And so there's probably little time for one more comment here, then we can end. So maybe somebody else can get a chance.
So suppose you're seeing your individual qualities for spreading Krishna consciousness in the best way. And then you approach your authorities, but he's not seeing the same way. So let's say, for example, you suggest that you go to this place and preach, and because it's a ripe field, you see there's a ripe field, and you have some, you know, potential for making a lot of devotees there. But he says, no, you should go to this other place. I don't think that's a ripe field. Go to this other place. So you. Because of your authority, you want to accept the authority lock, stock, and barrel, so you just back off, and then you go to the other place, and you're really trying, but after some time, it's not working, it's a disaster, and he says, no, keep trying, and so you keep trying after a long time, and he says, okay, I guess you were right, so I'll come back, and then he sends you to the first place you suggested, and then you go there, and it's a great success, and so would it have been better to... You know,
well, actually, I remind you, I left something off the list here, and that's perseverance. Yeah. To do our duty, we have to persevere. It may not manifest immediately. And so we may find ourselves in a situation as you described, but if we have the right consciousness and we're truly inspired, then we're not going to take that as something which is... inhibiting us. We're going to take it as a learning experience. I think a devotee sees like that, that this happened to me, what can I learn from it? As opposed to thinking that I've been boxed in or inhibited in some way. I think we need to see like that. That's part of humility. And one good thing about Krishna consciousness is that all's well that ends well. So you end up in the right place, and it doesn't matter how you got there. So, with that, we'll end the class today. Don't interrupt Srimad Bhagavatam.